so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. Good afternoon, Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is the Born to Lead program. Coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Is it Welcome Home by the Osibisa Band? Welcome. To welcome you all to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from Planet FM Studio. And if you just joined us on Facebook, welcome as well to the Born to Lead Show, a special edition for this week. Welcome. So thank you all for joining us. As I said earlier, this is the Born to Lead program from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And today with me is a very special guest whom I will be introducing later very soon. Who will be joining us after I've given my take on the Effective Leadership Series. Then I will interview him for him to share his experience and leadership as well. So thank you for joining us. Tune in. Don't go away. We'll be right back soon. If you just tune in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, which comes to you live on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. every Saturday. So thank you for joining us, and we will kick in very soon. Yeah, so thank you once again for joining us on this special edition of the Born to Lead series. And as I said, we are going to finish up what we started last week. And we started a special topic called Effective Leadership Series. What are the things that we need to watch out for, you know, when we want to be effective in leadership? And I made a point that it doesn't really matter what kind of role you are playing or what kind of leadership you find yourself in. It could be a team leader for a small basketball team, or it could be a leader of a startup that maybe you just started, or a corporate organization, multinational, whatever level you find yourself. The one important thing that you need to know, that effective leaders have things in common. And we shared so many things last week. You know, what are some of the qualities that we can exhibit, you know, for us to be seen as some people or people who are effective in what we are doing as leaders. You know, we talked about self-assessment, that you need to assess yourself on a regular basis, you know, as a leader, because that is the only way that you'll be able to know whether you are doing things the right way or you are doing things the wrong way. And then the things that you need to, you know, be able to just improve upon, because it is very important. As humans as we are bound to make mistakes. But if you're able to assess yourself and know what your weaknesses are and what your strengths are, then you'll be able to work on it. We talked about perception. We also touched on things like, you know, being responsive to the needs of the group. So it's not just about you. If you're a leader, you know, it's mostly you are called to serve the people under you. So it is not just about you, but about the organization and the people that you are leading. We also talked about knowing the organization or the team. It is very important, you know, in your strategies, you know, for you to be able to achieve the goals, you need to know what the team, you know, what it fits for purpose, you know, for the team. We discussed so many leadership qualities, you know, last week, you know, about listening, you know, how to setting up meetings and deadlines, giving formal and informal presentation, helping people to identify or solve problems, and as well as setting examples of desired behavior, you know, leadership walking the talk, leadership by example, showing appreciation to other people's contribution, showing understanding of the team, encouraging people to exchange ideas, handling conflict. You know, all these things we talked about last week. And also, we also touched on some key things that we see in effective leaders. What are some of the key things that we see in effective leaders that are very common? Talk about being honest. Honesty, it's at the top of the pinnacle when it comes to people we call effective, you know, when it comes to leadership. You need to be able to be trusted by the people that you are leading. We also touched on, you know, doing, you know, what you say you do. What does your word mean, you know, to other people, especially your subordinates? You know, your word should mean something. So you do what you say, you know. And then also, we also touched on things like, you know, what you believe in, what, you know, others, you know, have to be able to entrust you. They need to be able to trust you. And rolling up your sleeves to help out is also very important. And avoiding, you know, faces that will cause resentment and reluctance and resistance, you know, by other people. So these are some of the things that we talked about last week. And then we talked about feedback as well. How to receive feedback. You know, what makes you effective as a leader? How do you accept the feedback, you know, when it comes to you? Whether it's something that you like or you don't like, you know, how do you handle it, you know, when it comes to leadership? And then lastly, we talk about listening. Listening is one of the key areas or one of the key things, you know, that helps us to know whether someone is an effective leader or not. Because listening, it's very important. How do you behave? How do you take feedback, you know, in terms of listening to people? You know, are you patient? Do you give visual feedback? Do you give visual feedback with nonverbal expressions and gestures? So those are some of the key things, you know, that make people, you know, that are talking to you realize whether you are truly listening to them or not, you know. And it's very important for us to acknowledge the ideas and also keep alert in our attempt to listen to other people. So today we are going to look at two or three main other things, and then we'll wrap it up for this series. So today I want to start by talking about delegating leadership. Delegating leadership. When you talk about delegating, it means that, you know, giving up part of your role or letting people step in. And it usually happens when maybe you are going out of town or you're busy with other things and you want people to help what is technically or usually what you do. So that is delegating, you know, giving part of your powers or your authority to other people, you know, to do that. So we look at to decide whether you can delegate tasks to others. You ask yourself. These are some of the things that you need to ask yourself when you are delegating tasks to others, you know, to fill up the role that is technically yours. What am I doing now and that I would like to see someone else do? So that is one of the main questions that you need to ask yourself. And you also say, or you ask yourself, which skills among the members or the people in the team can be used more effectively by giving them more responsibilities. So they need to be able to tell you, or you need to be able to figure out what your team members really want and what you think that if I give this to Mr. A or Miss B, you know, if I delegate this particular task to this particular person within the team, I am very confident that he or she will be able to deliver. So you need to be able, as a leader, to ask yourself that this particular task or things that I'm about to delegate to Mr. A or Ms. B, would they be able to deliver? And for you to be able to be in that position to decide what you need to delegate, you need to know your team members. You need to know the people that you are working with. What could I do if I had more free time? What could I do if I'm able to delegate this thing to this particular person? Once you've decided to delegate, once you've decided to give some of your powers to other people to deliver what you have to do, it is not just about knowing your members. You also have to know what they have done and what they can do. That is very important. So it's not just about knowing them and knowing that this particular person, if I give him or her this thing to do, not only would he or she deliver, but based on his or her track record, I am very confident that even if he or she chooses a different star to deliver the same project, I know that they can deliver. You also have to listen to the membership or to the team members, so you pick up information about what they want to do. Let them know that you are willing to share authority. And when they know that about you, it becomes easy, you know, for them to be able to make themselves available, you know, for you to give them certain tasks, you know, to do. You also have to give them a purpose so that the team members know why the task is important. You don't just throw things on their desk and say, do this, you know, without having the opportunity to ask questions. You need to be able to give them a purpose. What is the reason? Why am I doing this? Why am I being delegated to take up this role or take up this task? And it's very important. Give credit where credit is due. That is also another thing. And show appreciation. There's one saying that appreciation costs nothing but gains everything. When you show people that you appreciate what you do, that you appreciate what they are doing, it doesn't cost you anything to say those words, but it gains everything. You have the confidence of the people. They know that you have their back. They know that you are able to be confide in them. You are able to let them do things because you know that they will be able to deliver. So those are some of the things that you have to take into consideration when you are delegating people under you, whether your subordinates or your team members, you know, to take up roles that are, you know, practically or technically yours. Now, let's look at how do we handle group discussions. You know, I've had the opportunity, you know, to be involved, you know, at high-level discussion board meetings of multi-million-dollar organizations where, you know, you learn from the experience. You learn from people who have been a chair of board meetings for so many years, and you copy their style. You realize that some of these people, is because it's based on experience. As they say, experience is the best teacher. So there are so many things that you need to learn when it comes to group discussion, because a lot of things happen. It doesn't really matter on which level, you know, that you're having that group discussion. It could be a high-level board meeting or maybe a startup discussions that you're having, how to have strategies, you know, to maybe go on market and stuff like that. Or you can even, you know, how to have the group discussion for something like as low as maybe a basketball team, or maybe you are trying to come up with a strategy, you know, for maybe something as simple as, you know, a group sports team. It's like maybe at work, you know, you've been able to divide yourself to have a sports competition. So how do you come up with certain strategies, you know, to be able to work together as a team? It could be as simple as that, something without even a prize, you know. But all these things help us to be better when we are making decisions, you know, as leaders. The majority of work accomplished in meetings is done through group discussions. And I can say that for a fact. I work for the local government, and most of the strategies that we have in place, You know, if you have a project and we don't invite our stakeholders, you know, both from like consultants, you know, as well as the local government representatives, you know, the community and all the people that are affected in that project and have round the table discussions, sometimes you face certain obstacles that could have easily been removed by having just simple group discussions. It is just as simple as that. So it is significant. So it is very significant for us to have group discussions, you know, when it comes to accomplishing some of these, you know, projects that we have. And discussions could mean a lot to the people who are involved, all the stakeholders that you consider that they will be affected, you know, by the project that you are about to do. Many a times we do a lot of things and we don't consider, you know, especially those in the community, we don't consider them as part of the stakeholders, and we go about and do things, especially on the high, you know, government level. They do things without consultation. They do things without even involving the people that in the end they are going to be affected by the same project that you are trying to do for the community. So we have to, as leaders, we need to be able to involve people that are going to be affected. And for that to happen, there are so many things that could happen within the discussion. This is significant as discussions are a time where everyone has the opportunity, you know, to contribute to the group. And as I said, it doesn't really matter who they are, as long as you find them befitting to be part of that group discussion, you need to involve them. Group discussion is actually more beneficial to your organization when one individual is working on a project. So the ideas generated within the group, and this is very important, often don't come live when one person is working alone. So as they say, you know, you get more done and you get to know more when you work as a group, because that's where most of the ideas come from. And yet, discussions, time within a meeting is also time when frustrations build, because everyone wants to vent. Everyone wants to give their contribution. So you can imagine that sometimes there'll be a lot of frustrations because everyone is saying what they think is best for the organization or for the project. So how can you avoid being frustrated yet still have a productive meeting? Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. It is possible for you to avoid people being frustrated and have a very productive meeting. You need to identify why the group is having that discussion. Why are we here? Why are we around the table? There are three main reasons for having a discussion. Three main reasons why we come together to discuss. Number one, is to exchange ideas. If you are just a single person, you have no one else to exchange ideas with. But if you are working in a group, the reason why we work in a group is the ones to exchange ideas. And two, to gather information. Because information, they say, is key. You exchange ideas, you gather information, and lastly, the last but not least, to solve problems. So you gather the information, exchange ideas, and solve problems. Those are the core reasons why we have group discussions. And at the end of the day, you just want to have a solution to a problem. So if you know why you are discussing the issue, it is easier to participate, one. It is easier to keep the discussion on track, and it's easier to get results. It's as simple as that. So sometimes we got to keep it simple. But one other thing that we have to be mindful of, or we need to be aware of, how the discussion is progressing. Because there are so many times that, you know, we go off track. There are two things can be happening during a discussion. That is the development of information, ideas, or issues, or the evaluation of information, ideas, or issues. I take it again. There are two things, two things can be happening during a group discussion. One, the development of information, ideas, and issues, or the evaluation of information, ideas, and issues. So usually, developing and evaluating get messed up together. Are you with me? So usually, developing and evaluating, the difference between developing something and evaluating it. But those two get mixed up most of the times at most meetings. And this is where you can run into problems like discussions that go run in circles and people get frustrated. Participants get frustrated because you got people saying whatever they think is best for the, you know, for the organization, and they keep running in circles. Or you got people who talk for so long, and they go off track. Or you got people who are just interrupters. You know, they wouldn't even allow people to make their case. So it can look like this: one person makes a suggestion, the second person says it is good, the third person says it's not good, and debate follows. Okay, the suggestion is tossed out. The leader asks for another suggestion. It is good. It is not good. It gets tossed out. After this happens for a few times, what do you think it will happen? The group is tired. Everyone stays quiet. It is time used up, and then there's no result. So those are some of the things that happen in most meetings where we are not able to make a decision. Why? Because, you know, we are not taking some measures, putting measures in place to make our meetings productive. And as a leader, these are some of the things that you need to watch out for when there's a group discussion. As I said, a group discussion is meant to gather information, you know, to be able to exchange ideas and then be able to get results. So if these all solve problems, so if you have these three key things in mind, you will be able to deliver by putting certain measures in place to make the meeting productive. It doesn't matter, as I said, whatever kind of meeting you are having or a group discussion, it could be as simple about sports, you know, as a group trying to go out and have fun, or a startup trying to come together to solve a problem within the community, or a multinational organization having a board meeting. It does. The rules are the same. It doesn't matter which level you are. The rules, when it comes to leadership or effective leadership meetings, they are the same. So to avoid this scenario of having someone suggest something, someone say it is good, someone say it is not good, then it gets tossed out, you need to have measures in place to make your meeting productive as a leader. To avoid this scenario, you need to get the ideas out first. That is one thing you need to do. Get the ideas first, or develop the information, ideas, or issue. That is the first thing. And then don't let people evaluate at this stage, or it will discourage participation. So, and that's what we call brainstorming. Get all the ideas together, all the information, all the issues. And at this time, no one evaluates it. You get things together, and then you move on. And that's when, once you put everything in place, getting all the information, all the ideas, all the issues together, without evaluating, because the moment you start evaluating at that particular stage, then people will get discouraged. So after the ideas are out, after everything has been put on the table, then you evaluate. So this progression keeps the group moving forward and avoids having similar debate, you know, for idea or comment. So keeping development and evaluation separate also helps in avoiding the trap of the first idea or the last idea. That's the survivor of, first half an hour of frustrating debates. So the first idea or the last idea being the best idea. So if you only have one idea, of course, it looks like it's the best idea. So if you have those measures in place, it helps, you know, not just you as a leader, but the participants of the group discussion to put things in check. In other words, everyone feels, one, they are being listened to, and then two, they are being taken seriously, or they feel involved as well. So those are some of the things that we could watch out for. Separating, gathering, or developing information, issues and ideas from evaluating them. And when we do that, we'll be able to have a very productive and efficient meeting. And that the onus relies on you as the leader to be able to make sure that these things are put in place and they are being followed. The other thing I want us to talk about is handling difficult conversations. You know, sometimes some of these things, you know, get involved. You know, they appear in our meetings. So the best intentions of a leader for keeping a meeting within a reasonable time frame can be destroyed if members put obstacles in the way. There are different people or people with different lifestyle or people with, how should I say it, like that is their character, that's who they are. You know, so when they come at meetings, you need to be able to know who they are. We have orators, we have wonders, we have interpreters, we have people who talk for so long, all those people. So that's what it is very important for you to know the people. So for example, someone who's an orator is able to speak, you know, freely, able to express him or herself. His speaking skills may tend to talk for so long because they are very good at speaking. So the leader must judge how much time is enough for that person and then get his attention by what? Saying something. You know, that's where you have your meeting under control. So I have what we call the sandwich approach, where you criticize people by use the sandwich approach. You could say something like, Michael, you are doing very well, or it's a fantastic idea that you have brought up, but it looks like you are running out of time. We are running out of time, and several others have some points to make as well. So I would appreciate it if you wind up your comment, you know, in the next few minutes. Thank you very much. You know what I've done? I started by saying that we appreciate what you are doing. You've brought up a lot of fantastic ideas. Then I said, it looks like we are running out of time. So you are taking too much time. So I would appreciate it if you wind up in the next minute or two, so that we can move on with the meeting. Thank you very much. So, you appreciation, criticism, and then another appreciation by trying to tell him that, try and keep it simple or try to wind it up. So, in that word, everyone will know that, oh, you know, I'm being appreciated, and two, I have to take into consideration the other people on board, so at least it's not just about me, but other people on board. So there are different ways and strategies you can adopt as a leader to put things in place, to make sure that you have control over the meeting. We are people who are like wanderers. You know, they tend to bring up an entire unrelated topic, you know, where the same way you can make sure that you bring them on board, you know, by not letting them get away, you know, from the subject that you are discussing. We are people who repeat things all the time, numerous times at the same subject, while other members hadn't had the opportunity to talk at all. So those people as well, you have to find a way, the repeaters, you know, to put them in check as well. We are people who are interrupters at meetings. So what they do is they interrupt others as they are speaking on a subject. And almost every person who mounts the podium to speak, they will interrupt. You know, so people like that, you also have to find a way to make sure that you bring them on board by saying something that will make them feel that, you know, they have to be able to give other people the opportunity to make their point. So those are some of the things that we could, you know, also work on to be able to help our meetings to be productive or effective. It doesn't really matter what you are doing. It doesn't really matter, you know, what, I mean, as I said, the kind of board meeting or discussion that you are leading as a leader. There are basic things that you can do, and what you just discussed are some of the things that you could adopt to help your meetings become very productive. So in a nutshell, what I can say is that leaders have things in common. Effective leaders have things in common. And you ask yourself, what are some of the things that I could do to help me, you know, become an effective leader? There are so many things that we can do to help us become effective. So effective leaders have qualities that are in common. So making the effort to practice and learn the skills it takes to be an effective leader, you know, will enable you to use the style of leadership necessary in any situation you can come across. And that is what I believe, that if most of us who find ourselves in any leadership role are able to exhibit some of these skills, we will be able to make a change and make this world a better place. So thank you for listening to our Effective Leadership Series, you know, 1 and 2, for last week and this week. And I believe that what we have gone through, if you're able to exhibit some of these skills, I am very optimistic and very, very, very clear and also confident that you will be able to be an effective leader, whatever you find yourself doing. Thank you. And then we'll go for a commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to listen to a particular guest in our studio who is also a leader in the community, listen to his experiences and what he believes are some of the best things that we could do, you know, when we find ourselves in a leadership, you know, role. Thanks.
So this is the Born to Lead program. That was my turn. So when we come back, we're gonna. So stay tuned, we'll be right back. So Timbuktu, Ghana, Mali, Sumanguru, you know what you're shown. What you're getting, what you're shown.
So as I said, we have a special guest in our midst, whom I will be introducing very soon. So if you just listen to us, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show. coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6.
Them say we no fit jump. 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 Them say we no go fit jump. I'm a girl when you're with my boy, not a child. Catch my walk, 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 man. Hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey,
so as I said, we have a very special guest in our midst today, who is going to be sharing his experience with us when it comes to leadership. I've known this special man for a very long time, since we were teenagers, and and he's done well for himself and his family, and I think it's worth, you know, having him share his experience about leadership. A very, disciplined man whose love for God is unequivocal, and of course he's as I said, done well for himself. He's no other person. I think I'll hold the name for now, and maybe I'll allow him to introduce himself and what he's been up to, and what he's out and about, and I believe that those are some of the stories that we encourage people within our community to come and share with us, and I'm very sure that you'll be able to take something good out of this. So Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, and God bless you for this opportunity to be here. Mm. it's a big privilege, and I believe that this afternoon, listeners are going to be blessed, and they're going to learn something new that will help them in their leadership experience.
Yeah, thank you. So that was Reverend Michael Ejaisesu introducing himself. So tell us, what have you been doing?
Well, for the past decade, I've merely been in the ministry, and alongside, I do a bivocational, so alongside you work in the corporate. But other than that, my mainstay has been in the ministry. Yeah.
All right. So if you say the ministry, what kind of work have you been doing in the ministry?
Okay. For the past decade, I've been about church planting and, mentoring and discipling Christians, if you want to put it. But in general, mentoring and, you know, discipling people. Yeah.
And what is the feedback people are getting from some of the works that you're doing?
All right. Let me just share this testimony. There was a lady I met in South Africa about maybe a year ago or two. One day she wrote to me and she said, "You know what? If I've met you earlier, I wouldn't have made a mistake I've made in life." You understand? And for me, it felt special because you realize that you've contributed to someone's life.
Yeah.
You're able to lead somebody in a direction that a person could look back one day and say, "You know what? If I've met you earlier, I wouldn't have made the bad decisions I made." Okay. So that for me is fulfilling, and makes me as a leader to feel that, well, I'm doing something right here. Mm. And I believe that as I share some of these few things with our listeners, they can also apply them in any facet of their lives, right? It's not only limited to ministry. But in fact, I believe that the best model of leadership can be seen from the scriptures.
Wow.
I believe that most of the books you read around and I've come across,
yeah,
they glean from the scriptures.
Mm.
All right. And so if you find somebody who is adhered to the scriptures,
yeah,
advising you on some areas of leadership, yeah, I don't think you go wrong. So viewers, just get ready for something good.
Yeah, awesome. So now let's get straight into the point. When we talk about effective leadership, you know, what is your understanding and what is your perspective, you know, when it comes to leaders who we say are very effective?
All right. Effective leaders to me are servant leaders.
Mm.
Okay. In my not so long life and experience, I've come to learn that people don't want to be bossed over.
Mm.
No matter how poor they are, no matter how uneducated they are, what everyone hates is to be bossed over.
Mm.
And if you look at the trend of modern leadership today, gradually we are shifting to the servant kind of leadership, which Christ did.
Yeah.
All right. I don't see any perfect leader as Christ.
Yeah.
To the point that he said the leader should be able to give his life as ransom for the people.
Mm.
So it's rare to see in our modern day for leaders or managers to give their lives,
yeah,
as a ransom for the people. Most often than not, the leadership styles that we have is for those on top, and then those below are forgotten about.
Mm.
But in actual sense, if corporate world, the people that are making the money actually,
yeah,
are the people who are below. So gleaning from the scriptures, it's so true that he said, if you want to lead others,
yeah,
then you must first of all be a servant. In fact, the word minister comes from there. So what it brings, what Christ is trying to put across is this. Forgive me if I have to use a lot of
scriptures. Yeah, go ahead.
Of,
yeah,
my background.
Go ahead.
All right. He's trying to teach us, if you are there as a servant, if you know how it feels to be a servant, then you'll be careful how to lead
them. Yeah, the decisions you make.
All right. So my best style of leadership, if you ask me, is the servant kind of leadership.
Mm.
Try to be in the shoes of the people you lead in. Try to be like a single mother.
Mm.
Some people come to work, they are single parents. Some people come to work, they had to walk through the rain or something. All right. If you were in their shoes,
yeah,
or if you had a bad day at home and you came to the office,
mm,
would you expect to do things in a particular way? So always putting yourself in the shoes of the people you are leading,
yeah,
makes you a good leader.
We have instances where leaders will say, well, I also had a poor background. I worked my way up to the top. So I have been where you are, and I understand your situations. But sometimes you don't see them making decisions that feel like this is someone who was once maybe poor or did not even have shoes to wear, and they are up there and taking still advantage of other people. I mean, what do you say about, you know, situations where people have been in the same situations like, you know, those down there, but still...
Yeah, that is where the challenge comes in.
Mm.
It means right from the word go, if you ask me, then you are not fit to be a leader.
Mm.
And that is why we have so many demonstrations, so many strikes, because these are the very people that promised heaven.
Yeah.
But yet get out there and everything is a mirage.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is that the moment you forget, the day you forget that you are also a servant, then you're not fit to be a leader.
Mm.
It's very crucial. Many of us, we easily forget. All right. So as a leader, no matter what you've been through, when you get to the top, you must always remember. In fact, leadership, you have to substitute that word for servanthood.
Mm.
So if you're a leader, think as a servant. And you're going to make much impact in the lives of people.
Wow.
All right. Because what people are looking for today in terms of leadership is not the traditional orthodox style of leadership.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were growing up, we used to, you know, there was a system of learning, you remember, primary school and all that. Now we talk of the Montessori and what have you, where people are being taught based on their strengths and what have you.
Yeah.
And today, the whole leadership world is drifting to that side. I mean, my current work where I am, we have a new manager, and he came to the floor to work with us. And I mean, he worked all the shift with us. Why is he doing that? He's trying to have a feel of a servant. So that when he sits in this air-conditioned office with all the nice gadget, and he's writing out memos, he knows how to position it. So for me, the moment you lose the sense of servanthood, you've lost the plot for leadership.
Let's look at some of the attributes of this leadership style that you were talking about. I mean, what are some of the things that, you know, leaders who are serving from the servanthood style exhibit?
All right. One, they keep asking for feedback. All right. If you glean from the scriptures, he asks them, Jesus asks them, what do you men say I am? He was getting a feel. You see, all these theories and principles we read in management books, it's just using a few different words, but in actual sense, they are all there. He said, what do people say? He wants a feedback as to how people view his leadership style. So one of the qualities that you need, or the ingredients in this kind of leadership, is one who asks for feedback. Because it's only by feedbacks that you know how you're performing. But once again, Jesus is classic for me. He never asks them, what do you say I am in the first place? But he said, what do people? So if we're a manager, no employee will sit before the manager and say, you are very wicked.
That's not going to happen. I might lose my job.
And even if the person doesn't like the job, no employee will say, you know what, if I get the next job, I'm getting out. Because he knows you'll be fired that day. So when you want to be that kind of leader, you must open up and have room. He said, what do others? So if you want good feedbacks, for example, you don't ask the person, what do you think? What do the others think? And you'll be surprised that they'll tell you a lot. Because they don't feel threatened, they feel secure. They can share something with you that is personal, all right? But yet, because you said, what do others, then it becomes easier. So I like the point you were saying about sandwich approach. Kind of approach. All right, it's something of that nature. The moment you make it personal, then the people who are below you sometimes don't open up. But he asks them, what do others say? And they said, this, that, this, that. So that is one way of being a servant leadership. All right. The second one I would like to mention is that a servant leader, that the style, it's also that the quality or qualities you must have, one of them is that you must be willing to sacrifice yourself for the people. It's rare, but I believe that gradually we should get there.
So when you say sacrifice in what sense?
Okay. For example, I'm a leader. The company is not doing well. Do I get my next jet? Or do I still get my bonuses and all that? I'm not sacrificing. I mean, the company is going down. We have to cut jobs. But yet you've brought a budget for your office to be refurbished. It means there's no sacrifice within you. All right. So when we talk about servant leadership, that element must be, are you willing to the extent that you die for the people? So for me, when we talk about leadership, it should be a scary thing. Because there must be a point you must be willing to lay down your lives for the people. And today, I guess we don't have that kind of leaders. How many of us are willing to take a pay cut to see many families sustaining the business? We'd rather cut off those families and heap that upon what we are already having. And it becomes problematic. All right, so I believe these two ingredients are very important in this kind of servant leadership.
Apart from Jesus in the Bible, what are some of the other leaders that, you know, that inspire you?
All right. if you want me to give you others beside him, I would like to talk about Nelson Mandela.
Wow. Yeah. Madiba.
I lived in South Africa for about almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say that the best thing that ever happened to South Africa is Madiba.
It's Madiba.
Okay. Because being through all that he went through, then he gets power. The man is out of this world. He gets power. He said, no, we can't treat the people who treated us the same way they did to us. To a point that when he served his term, he said, no, there's no need to continue. Let others do it. He sacrificed himself. He sacrificed another term in office with all the largesse and all that will come with it. That is a servant kind of leadership. So when you talk of our modern day people, he's one person that I really admire. And many, only few people do that. I mean, you have the chance. I mean, if you wanted to be a lifetime president, I'm sure they would still have allowed him because of what the good things he did. But yet he said, you know, he knows where to put a full stop.
The other thing is, what would you say about leaders that say A, but they do B, you know? And I understand that people get frustrated, you know, when they see that leaders are not doing what they promised to do. I mean, sometimes, you know, their hands are tied. You know, based on maybe some policies and other things that have been put in place, you know, board meetings, you know, taking decisions. So sometimes we do entirely blame the leaders.
Right. I'll ask you a question in response to your answer. Your question.
Yeah.
Who got their hands tied? I think that many a times...
I mean, those are some of the excuses that some of these leaders will make.
Well, before you step into whatever leadership role, you know what goes with it. And if you feel that when you get in there and your hands will be tied, why don't you get out of it? I think sometimes we have the mindset that if I can do it, no one else can do it. So, you know, sometimes we think that by all means, I have to do it. I have to be there. No, it must not be you always. In fact, if you die today, somebody else will do it. All right, so if you feel that being in a leadership role gets your hand tied to something that forces you to do things that you don't want to do, or that makes it very impossible to do what you want to do, then I suggest you get out.
Awesome. What would be your last word on this effective leadership series
you are discussing? Leadership series skills. I believe that... not many of these are in books, but if you apply it, I believe that later on you realize the truth. And it's that you must be a servant to lead. It's a very tricky thing being a leader, but a servant. To sum everything up, that is what I would say.
Awesome.
To be a servant. And when you have that quality, I believe that there's no level that you cannot attain.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for being on the show, Reverend Michael E.J. Sosu.
Thank you so much. A pleasure having me.
All right. So, that brings us to the end of this week's show, special edition on the Born to Lead. So, with us on the studio, with us in the studio was Reverend Michael E.J. Sosu, who joined us on the effective leadership series today.
Siri, you know, I did get a queen, you know,